Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. Big update. We talked at WNBA, Caitlin Clark last week got picked overall number one. And like I thought, she didn't get paid. Very embarrassing for the WNBA. And I mean, I keep hearing people argue and say like, oh, the wage gap or whatever, they need to increase it. But this is basically, they're taking whatever money they're making and they're putting a cap on it so that she can only make a certain amount of money, even though she's going to be by far the most popular player. I've already seen about 20 hit pieces from current players talking about how she's in for a rude awakening because, let's be honest, they're just jealous. They're jealous that no one cared when they were in college enough to tune into their game and they saw the number of like 17 million or whatever she had in her playoff game and they thought she's going to come in and demand a higher pay. I'm kind of surprised that what she signed for 4 years. I mean, and maybe she's worried that she's not going to stick, but I would have kind of gambled on myself because shooting travels, right? There's not a lot of women players that have that range. There just aren't. She's shooting like Steph Curry range, where I feel like as long as you're a pure shooter, you can play longer. Look at Ray Allen. Didn't he play till he was like 50? He was like in there forever. And unlike the big guys, right? Guys like Shaq and Garnett, they always had like lingering injuries the farther they got. Even LeBron now, he's breaking down. And you know he's not leading his team to a championship. He needs to surround himself with even more superstars. And that's where Caitlin Clark is like, you're a shooter. Even if you didn't get dinged up and like lose a couple steps, doesn't matter. I feel like her only concern is that people might not actually tune in. Right? Getting people to tune in for an Iowa game. Iowa is a very popular college football program. People can knock it and say it's in the middle of nowhere. They routinely have some of the highest TV ratings and they routinely get placed in higher bowl games because their fans actually travel. So if you look at the way the Big Ten slots down, and everyone knows I'm a Big Ten guy, Iowa, Wisconsin, those are some of the teams from the Midwest that they will get picked ahead of other schools if there's an opportunity for a bowl game because they're going to pack the house. And there's a reason why Caitlin Clark was able to get viewers there. I know it wasn't like a blue blood program, but I think I talked about it during their championship run. Iowa starved for a national championship. Doesn't matter what sport it's in. I mean, they get wrestling. Now is a chance to get women's basketball. I don't think they've ever had one. Great opportunity. Best player of all time. And they came up short. It's like having, like I said, it's like having Larry Bird at Indiana State. What if Larry Bird had played at Indiana? Probably would have won a national championship. Didn't have the supporting cast, but it's crazy that he took Indiana State there. That's still how I feel about Caitlin Clark. I also wonder if, because you see this sometimes, where one player comes through, they have their great run with that player, and then they don't get it done, they fall short. But then because of that player, a bunch of other people will go to that team, and they'll win a championship a few years later. And so I almost wonder if they're going to be able to capitalize on that success. Because a lot of programs come close and then they fall back off the bat. And it'll be interesting to see how Iowa handles it. And it's going to be interesting to see how Caitlin Clark can carry that fandom going forward. Because in the WNBA, they're talking about increasing the 14 teams. Wouldn't you rather pay your players more?
You would think.
It's not a bad salary, and I don't understand why people want to get rid of. I see it both ways. Like, they give them, what, a guaranteed step. The NFL does this now, too, right? Where if you get slotted at whatever pick, they know what you're going to get paid beforehand because it was embarrassing before when people didn't want to sign, right?
Yeah.
So it's a bad look for the league. So the league tries to cut it off. And it's not like other professions. I mean, even teaching, a lot of places go by steps or whatever. So, like, there's not really a negotiation. It's like, that is what it is. And that's kind of what the WNBA is right now. And that's where, like, if I'm her, like, did she take the big three offer? I wanted to look it up before the show and I forgot to. But why not do other opportunities? Because, like I said, the WNBA might say, like, oh, we're giving you this guaranteed salary. I mean, she's big enough name. She could be a manager somewhere at some store and make more than that. Like, let's not kid ourselves, dude. Coming right out of college, depending on where she lived. Cause, like, could you imagine if you were living in New York or, like, where did she even get picked? I don't even know. I didn't write that down. I just have her salary here. Like, she's making $76,000. Like, that's not a lot if you're in New York or one of the bigger cities. And the WNBA is in these bigger cities.
But one of the things that I saw is that, like, for that salary, it only covers, like, during the season. The season's only 4 months.
Yeah.
So like, when you're looking at that comparatively to, like, people that say, oh, teaching, you don't get paid a lot, but realistically, if you're taking your summers off, you're only getting paid for 9 months. So, like, you still have that extra time that if your bottom line is to maximize how much money you have, then get a part-time job or get a summer job or do something in your off season to offset that. You know, like, I look at some of this WNBA stuff, and I'm just as guilty because I've watched zero WNBA games probably in the last 5 years. I don't think I can't comfortably say I've sat down and be like, oh, I'm really intrigued by this WNBA matchup. I mean, hell, I have a hard enough time being interested in the NBA matchups, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's where I'm at right now, because I've been on record too, the same thing. Sometimes I'll tune in. What did I watch? I watched some of the Brittany Griner games coming out. Then she went to her whole Russia thing. And it's almost like, all right, what's going to suck me in? Will I tune in to see Caitlin Clark? Yeah, I probably will. But if they're talking about some of these players in the articles, like, they're anonymous. And I know from the Michigan coverage, the anonymous ones probably aren't real. Right? Some guy probably made it up. But they were talking about, like, how, ooh, the coaches aren't going to let her shoot like she's a wild cowboy out there. And it's like, why? Why would they not? That's what her strength is. Stretch the defense. Let her shoot from out far, because then the defense starts to work their way out, open things in the middle. Like, you're going to want her to do, like, what, 20 layups? No one's going to watch that. No one's going to watch it. That's the whole point. That was my whole point earlier. Why the other teams aren't seeing an increase in ratings. They're talking about how their ratings increased by so much because her game was, like, what, 10 times what it normally get viewership? It's probably even more than that. It's probably like 20 times that championship game than what the championship game normally has viewers, if we're being honest. It was more than the NBA, like, to your point. So you can't tell me that, oh, she deserves to be paid more, she deserves to be paid less, or the WNBA needs to do different things. If it's not interesting, then why be an NBA light? I said it years ago. I think when we first started the podcast, I wish they would just lower the rim. What's the point? Or don't they play on the same 10-foot regulation rim? Why? Like, there's scientific proof that women are shorter than men. I think I even had the stats. I brought it into an earlier show.
You can't say that.
Going through the old episodes, I found a lot of stuff that made me laugh. I had actual facts I brought into the show. I think it was like 5-6 maybe or something. And so I regulate, like, even if you lower it by not even a foot, just take the 6-inch difference. You're already using a smaller ball. Go ahead and do that and see if people are start to dunk. I think dunking is, if you watch NBA highlights, Matt, every highlight, because I looked at this before the show, like WNBA highlights, not interesting. I watch NBA highlights, also not interesting, but almost 90% of them were dunks. And I'm like, all right. And every time it was over the top, like some comment like, the greatest dunk. Watch him get posterized. And like the over the top stuff. But I'm like, they're selling it with dunks. The WNBA doesn't have that. Like, you're not going to be like, watch this awesome move.
Dominating layup.
Yeah. Watch her shift it around and make a layup with her opposite hand. Awesome.
See, maybe they need to just go back to, like, the 1920s NBA games and be like, how did they make those sound interesting?
They didn't. That's why it was always about the people. That's why it was Larry Bird versus Magic. Or, like, Dr. J. They tried to make the people sound cool. And I think that's what the NBA is trying to get into now. But, like, even some of the commercials, dude, I know these guys are NBA because they're, like, super tall dudes or whatever in these commercials. I have no idea who they are. And I'm like, can you just not, like, give me a name tag? Like, I feel like the NBA commercials are just insane because in the NFL comparison ones, they say Patrick Mahomes' name, like, a bazillion times. Am I right? They even joke about Ma'ato. Like, they're always constantly telling you who the guy is. Where the NBA commercials, and even the WNBA ones, there was one where they were, like, shooting, and it was, like, some Adidas one, and there was a couple girls in it, and a couple guys, and I thought, I don't know any of these guys, or girls. Like, you would think that they would want their name in here. But it's like, is it only the NFL? Maybe they're too paranoid that they're always wearing helmets. And so it's always like, here's Tom Brady doing something. Here's Patrick Mahomes. Here's Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers. For the NBA, they don't do that. And I'm like, I don't get it. Except, well, what is it? Caitlin Clarkson, that one with Jimmy Butler. The insurance one. But even that one was super corny and awkward. And it was like, what a weird mix, right? You couldn't just have Caitlin Clark there. You had to put an NBA guy in that most people probably don't know unless they follow the NBA close. Because, like, you didn't know who Jimmy Butler was, right? I don't know if he had a jersey on in that commercial, but she had her Iowa one on, which Iowa University is probably eating that up. Or I guess it's probably University of Iowa. As my allergies start to mess me up, what, early in the show? But that's my WNBA update. Didn't watch the draft because I don't watch the NBA draft or even the NHL draft. I watched the NFL draft because I like watching football highlights, right?
Yep.
And I like talking about my guys. But other sports, their draft, unless they're doing something like they're freezing the envelope, like the NBA. Did you hear that story? That was probably a 30 for 30, wasn't it? Where they thought the Knicks like froze the envelope or something so that the commissioner could pull it out. Classic move, by the way. Because like, how would someone even think of that? The hand was like getting blue or something. Like, the frozen envelope, my man. Look at the ice falling off that. But I don't care how much WNBA is paid. It's the same with soccer. Yeah, the United States women were doing awesome. Do they deserve to get paid more? I don't know. It seems like they're making a lot more than what other people make. WNBA, not really making that much more. But like, dude, to your point, they're only working 4 months. But the key thing with them is like, they have to stay in shape. I know a lot of them are mothers and they get pregnant and stuff, and that's like a big thing that people bring up about them like missing time. But all right, who cares? Like, if it's going to affect their legacy, like some of them are playing for like 30 years and it's like, all right, not really worried, bothering them, you know? And that's what I feel like Caitlin Clark can do. And maybe she'll be the highest paid player if it works out. I am worried that people are going to attack her. Right? Like a Gronk type where they're just over the top physical with her. And they're basically telling the ref to go ahead and call penalties on us. But that she's going to get like just physically dominated. Because like the Gronk thing, that's one that I always bring up. Like you can clearly watch a game, whether you like Gronk or not, and everybody's going for his legs. Everybody. On purpose. Like, it's clear different tackling when he has the ball versus another receiver. And no wonder he wanted to leave and become a Michael Strahan guy in the booth. But will it matter in the WNBA? I don't know. I'm wondering if it's going to be enough, Can one person follow the path of the NBA? She'll be like the Dr. J, right? Who would have been the first NBA guy that you know? Wilt, did they call him Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain? He was after.
Yeah.
Who would have been cooler back in the day? Bill Russell, he didn't have a cool nickname. Didn't he just win a bunch of championships with the Celtics or whatever? So it's like, back in that day, you could just be super tall and no one could stop you. And it's like having a guy until like Michael Jordan, but they called him Air Jordan, remember?
Yeah.
And then his shoes, and then some people down here call him MJ. My dad still considers MJ Michael Jackson. So he always gets confused when people bring MJ up down here. He's like, I thought he died. Speaking of deaths, oh my gosh, man, I forgot to put it on the show notes. My man OJ, his watch has ended, Matt. He's not going to be able to find the real killer. I know that's what he was out doing for the past, what, 30, 40 years? 30.
Yeah, well, he's out golfing and
making videos, being in movies.
Giving out fantasy football tips.
I just feel bad. Like, he never got closure in his case. You'd think the cops would have been able to help him out. Now they'll solve it, dude. 2 years tops? Right? Although they're still looking for Tupac's guy. Did they finally solve it?
Yeah, it was Diddy. He did everything. And then they crashed into a bridge. They're like, oh, get out of the news cycle.
So that's where, I don't know, like with OJ, he became so big that I thought he was like a current NFL player. I didn't realize he had like retired years before or whatever. So, like, he played, like, decades ago. And he is still popular. But we'll see what happens with his case. And now,
he rushed for, like, over 11,000 yards in an era where everybody's defense was, like, up on the line. They're like, come on, come run it, because we know you ain't throwing it.
I'm just glad that he got to see the Bronco come back, Matt. And I wish I had an opportunity to go buy one in memory. That should be my next vehicle, be a Bronco in memory of OJ. I don't know if they make a white model anymore. You would think they would. Ford should have tweeted something out. Maybe they just did. Walking.
Can I have the deluxe OJ edition?
Yeah, I'm looking here for an OJ. And then hold up the picture of the police chase. This car salesman would be like, what in the hell? Because when I go to a car dealership, I like to make the guy leave and wonder what the hell did he just, what happened to him? He had the game plan and then it didn't go anything to plan. So that's my plan at the dealership. Throw a bunch of wild cards. A picture of the OJ chase would be a pure wild card because they're showing you like a used Bronco. You're like, not the same, not the right color. Just doesn't have the look. I don't know if I'd be able to outrun cops in this. Do you think I could?
Does it have good maneuverability through traffic?
I go in for a test drive and have a really small glove and just try to put it on your hand while you're driving.
I have these gloves I like to wear when I drive.
Just don't even say anything. Just get in. Be like, oh, hold on a sec. Got to put my driving gloves on. And it's just a super tiny glove and you're driving with it. And see, our show is off the rails. You said it was going to be. my NFL stuff is kind of, we're getting ready for the draft. The draft is coming up, right? The fluff pieces about Harbaugh keep coming out. It's unreal. Did you see his RV video?
Him
and the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, have matching RVs. They're living down at the beach. And there's like a Chargers put out this video of them like giving a tour of their RVs where they're living while like during the offseason getting ready for camp or whatever. And I thought, that would be sweet. Just like hanging out with your buds like in the RV camp. Except all you're doing is watching football and like just talking football with people coming by, you're like getting ready for your draft. I keep seeing so many things about going through and like having what, 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first couple picks. And I feel like that's going to be way too many. They're all going to bust, right? I have a feeling when you're drafting that many quarterbacks that high, that number 6 or 7, whomever falls like later in that first round, is going to have such a chip on their shoulder that they're going to be the one that works out, right?
So I would say probably. Well, and I think when you're drafting at the top end of the draft, like, you want to hit on that staple guy that's going to give you, you know, a decade of productivity. And I think it's harder as a franchise to sell building in the trenches and building your secondary and like addressing the specific needs. It's easy to go, here's our flashy new toy, and using that as a justification for season ticket sales and jersey sales and everything else.
And that's where just having a guy that sells jerseys is like ridiculous to me. Cause I came up with this philosophy a while ago where I only want the jersey of a guy that played for my team if they win a Super Bowl. I don't even care if they win the MVP. Now, for college, it's a little different. If they win the Heisman or win like a national championship, that's the jersey I want. Like, other than Tom Brady. Like, if Tom Brady goes to your school, of course I have a Tom Brady Michigan jersey. Are you kidding me? Grace of all time. But I'm not just going to go get a new jersey every year. What if the guy transfers now? And what if he doesn't pan out? It's like the same with the draft. People are like getting excited down here. Who's Carolina going to get? They got their Bryce Young jerseys. Now they're like, duh, what if we just trade Bryce Young? I was like, how many quarterback jerseys is he going to have? Sam Darnold. Who else did they have? Didn't they have the redhead guy, Andy Dalton, for a bit? It's like, Cam Newton jersey still floating around. Why?
Jake DeLome.
I like Jake DeLome. They almost won a Super Bowl. That would have been a check in my book. Maybe if your team hasn't won a Super Bowl, the guy that got closest, so like him or Steve Smith, maybe.
Their original number one draft pick, Kerry Collins, got himself a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you don't want the jersey when he wins it with someone else. Not going to get a Giants jersey? Is that what he won it with?
I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to go get a jersey of a guy that won it with a different team. Like, winning with the team. It's a double whammy, like, if Charles Woodson wins the Heisman and then he wins one with the Packers, then you're like, man, I got a bunch of Charles Woodson gear. He's the best. He's in the Hall of Fame, too. I guess maybe if your guy's in the Hall of Fame, maybe that can be the difference. I'm sure the Panthers have some guys in the Hall of Fame, maybe. And then that can be, that's kind of like the Heisman for the NFL, right? Because I don't really count MVPs because Aaron Rodgers has a bunch of them, doesn't he? I wouldn't have an Aaron Rodgers jersey. Even though he did win the Super Bowl, I'd probably go with a Favre. He seemed cooler. Right? Definitely doesn't defraud people, take their money or anything like that. Doesn't harass reporters, you know, with unsolicited pictures. Just in case he's listening, I don't want him to sue us. That's why I got to say that on the record. But I did, Fred, I did say you were the cooler quarterback, right? Probably the best Packer quarterback of all time. You're Bart Starr, right? He won 2. How many did Brett have? 2? 1? I don't know now.
He had at least 1.
Yeah, so I got to brush up. But yeah, that's my NFL thing. I did see that they were talking about maybe getting NC State center Burns looked at for the NFL draft because he was so big. And it made me laugh because one of the NFL scouts said, they listed him at 6'9", but there's no way he's that. He's probably like 6'7". And then I thought, are all of the college basketball guys pumped up by 2 inches then too? At least? Because like he looked bigger than everybody out there. Maybe I should go get courtside tickets and stand around and see if I'm actually one of the taller guys there. Because, like, I always think back to the Steelers training camp. Hines Ward comes up to me, and I'm like, bro, I'm bigger than you. What the? Get away from me. Keep me a real NFL player around here, Roethlisberger, come over here. I'm like, Hines Ward. It was like a joke almost. He's like the size of like a grandpa or something. I guess he is much older than me, but hey, I would assume he would be taller, right? Because like you see the guys on TV, they're always talking about like how jacked they are and stuff. And then when you see one in person, they're shorter than you, but by a good bit. And you're like, they listed you like 6 foot, Hines. You should have been about the same. Like, I'm like, what, 6 foot one, 6 foot two? Like, Hines, you should have been like closer to me. I was very taken back. I was very shocked. I don't even know if he had cleats on, but I didn't have like lifts on or anything. And so that's what I always think about when the people are like, I wonder if they're really that height. I just think back to Hines Ward and how he wasn't really as tall as what I thought he was going to be.
Well, now he looks like it's Always Sunny, where they're like, get a meet and greet by Donovan McNabb. Like, that was the Hines Ward you saw.
Yeah, maybe it was.
It was just a Hines Ward, not the Hines Ward.
If he didn't run off the field, then maybe I would have suspected that. But it would be even funnier if they just had like a stand-in, like a stunt double. And they're like, you're going to be Hines at practice today, all right? We don't want the real Hines blowing an ACL out there. But yeah, like the WNBA, they don't have summer camp or anything. I mean, I guess they play during the summer. So like, they don't do anything year-round. They're like, all right, girls, come on. Camp is starting. And then everyone's thrown up in the garbage cans when they start running. Because they've been the whole year off. They could hire, was it Doyle? The Iowa guy that got in trouble. And then Urban Meyer tried to hire at Jacksonville. And the NFL was like, we're not having that. Are you serious? We don't want our guys thrown up. They're like working to death. Urban, these guys are millionaires, man. They all have personal trainers. That's why I'm curious what Harbaugh's guy's going to be. Because Herbert was like an over-the-top strength coach from Michigan, and he was like a guy that looked like it would work with college players. The NFL, I'm like, are they going to take this guy serious? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they will. Who knows? We'll see. But in the NFL stuff you want to talk about?
Thought I had something. I'm seeing more reports now of Pittsburgh trading back. Do you think they stay put or do you think they move?
I think it all depends what happens with quarterback situation. Because if there's really five quarterbacks taken in the first bunch, like the first group of picks, do they trade back? Because I feel like they can get probably good value then. Where if the quarterbacks aren't really taken, I would just try to trade back. I feel like there are a lot of deeper value picks this year where if you have so many quarterbacks that are valued that high, I feel like you can get better positions elsewhere if you just wait a little bit. Because then you're going to have so many quarterbacks off the board, that's going to kind of shift the rest of the draft. Because in the past, it seemed like the quarterbacks were more spread out. And so, like, the top cornerback is taken, the top DN, top D tackle, top offensive lineman, where now, if people are just picking quarterback, there are also rumors about them moving up. Did they just move up then and get a different need? I don't know what's going to happen. Last time they did that, they went linebacker, and then Devin Bush got hurt. And then I saw that he signed with someone else, maybe the Browns this year or something. I can't remember where it was. And I was wondering if they're going to have him in like a different type of position. Because he seemed like he would be more of a, he might be better in like a weak side 4-3 or something. Because I thought he might be fine in of like the 3-4, like middle backer spot where the Steelers were having. But he was getting eaten up by his size. He couldn't fill any holes or anything after. Once he lost his speed, that was it. Like, he had no other game. So I almost wonder if they have a bigger, heavier line in front of him where they can't just bear down and run towards him. And he can kind of just use his speed on the outside more. I wonder if that would work. And he could have a long career that way. But it depends on how much of his speed he lost with those knee injuries. I don't know. But I'm looking through. There are some other ones where people are like, what was it? What was the team I saw? Where they're like signing all of their stars. The Colts, I think. And I'm like, is this a big deal? Like, I know the Colts had a good run last year. Like, you're hoping that Richardson, right? Didn't he get hurt? It's like, you're hoping he takes the next step and doesn't get hurt. So how far are you going to go from there? And then the reason I'm kind of low on what the Steelers can do is I'm kind of scared because I read an analysis, and this is after I talked to someone down here, too, that was talking about scouting college, and they were saying that you got to think about it. These guys, NFL quarterbacks that they're talking about, Penix, Bo Nix, and some of the other ones are older. Would you have wanted your team to draft them last year when in like 5 years ago, that's when the NFL would have been drafting them? And that would have been a hell no from me. So it kind of warped my perspective on Penix because I said like that would be the guy I would hope that if my team was going to get someone lower, I hope they go with him. And then they're like, would you have wanted him as your number one guy last year? I'm like, no, I guess not. Right? It's all about this one season where he's so much older than the other guys. Right? I know he was kind of hurt and maybe he's coming back and it shows that he can kind of bounce back. So maybe he's looked at a little bit different light than like Bo Nix that just played forever. And he's going to go to the NFL. You can't tell me he's not going to be a bust. Right, and I bring that up because ESPN has Bo Nix like on the front of one of their things right now, and then they also have like Sam Hartman's another one stuck around forever. People thought he was kind of good at Wake Forest, but he went to Notre Dame and didn't do anything. Like I think less of him. You can't go to a team like Notre Dame that has more talent than basically everyone in the ACC besides like what Clemson, Florida State, maybe, and you're not running the table. It's like a USC problem. The same thing with Caleb Williams. You didn't win, though, buddy. You didn't win. You had all the guys. You had even the year before, 2022, when he could have kept Ohio State out of the playoffs. He could have kept Ohio State out of the playoffs. Maybe that playoff seeding's a little bit different. Michigan plays USC. Maybe things go different. And we have a Georgia-Michigan championship or something. But he couldn't get it done. And they weren't going to give Michigan and Ohio State a rematch in the playoffs, the first round, when we just saw that game. So they split them up. Michigan loses to TCU, and Ohio State loses to Georgia. But, like, I wonder, what would have happened if USC would have made it that year instead? And they didn't choke down the stretch, right? Because, come on, what are you doing? That's kind of where I'm at with, like, some of these guys. And I agree with it. And same with JJ. I talked about it last week. I was high on him, hoping he'd do good. And then I've been watching the all 22 of Michigan playoff games. And there's some plays where it's like open and he's not seeing the guy. And I'm like, in the NFL, like, are you purposely not looking? I don't know enough on what Harbaugh was trying to run down the stretch where I know like they were limiting his passes and stuff. And I just wondered, like, what if he would have just started hitting some of these open guys? Michigan really would have been stomping some people. Because I watched it. The thing that really kept the game close was Michigan's weird, awful special teams against Bama. If they don't have any special team, if they have one less special team error, they win in regulation, either by one of the missed field goals, the missed extra point, the muffed punt that led to a touchdown. Like, any special teams gaffe. They had so many, I'm surprised they didn't lose to Alabama. Rewatching the game. I'm like, how can one team make so many mistakes on special teams and still win the game? Was insane to me. And then I watched JJ have guys wide open. And sometimes he was finding them. And sometimes he held the ball a little too long. And the thing with Alabama's guys, they were tipping the ball because JJ held it too long.
Yeah.
And so that's what really scared me in the All-22 watching it. Because there were a couple where I thought, throw it now. There was one... I forget who caught it down the sideline. I don't know if it was Roman Wilson, but he was like going out of bounds. And if he would have threw it a half second earlier and his feet were set, he could have just fired it. And he was open, wide open. He could have walked in for a touchdown. Instead, he waited and to where the guys got him at the sideline. I don't know if this was the Alabama game or if this was a different one I was watching. But I just thought like he had him. Like why? He was kind of staring him down too. I'm surprised that he waited. And if I'm an NFL guy, I'm like, you can't do that. That would have been intercepted. Like, you gave your guy, he would have had a touchdown. Instead, you gave them enough time to get him out of bounds. He was that wide open. What are you waiting for?
Although I'll say, like, one of the things I like doing with the All 22 is being able to, like, watch certain plays as they're developing live and being like, if you were in that scenario, where are you going with the ball and trying to match up, like, what the quarterback's trying to do scheme-wise with what's out there. And I think, like, sometimes that can be really complicated. Well, like, when you start to understand what concepts they're running and seeing, like, oh, there's a missed opportunity, there's a missed opportunity.
Well, that's why the first play of the game drives me insane, because it was clearly a rollout, make an easy completion to get comfortable, and Michigan had a guy wide open in the flat. And JJ could have easily hit him, took one step and hit him, Michigan gains 4 yards or whatever. Awesome. Awesome first play of the game. You get 4 yards, that's like four, maybe more, because he was wide open. I'm assuming if Alabama makes a tackle right away, 4 yards at the least. Maybe seven, maybe even a first down, and it's a hell of a play. Instead, JJ holds it almost like the coach tell him, like, yo, you're going to hit the guy on the comeback. But you're rolling out. There's only two guys in the route. The guy's right in front of you. You can see he's wide open. It's an easy pitch and catch. I don't understand why you held it and then threw it right to the defender. That play makes zero sense to me, and that's the one that concerns me. If, say, the Steelers or the Packers were to pick him, I'd be worried that I'm going to see more of those plays. Heck, I saw it with Jordan Love last year in the playoffs where Packers had momentum. Why are you holding the ball and then throwing it all the way across the field for an interception when you didn't even need to do that? That's like what the JJ play was. It's the first play of the game, dude. Take the easy completion. Get your guys moving. Get Bama kind of spread out. And
absolutely, get in a rhythm.
Yeah, why hold it and then hold it way too long and then try to make a tight throw on the sideline? Luckily, the guy was out of bounds, but it's like, that's the one All-22. Like, you didn't even have to look at the All-22 and have to wonder what's going through his head. Was he nervous? Like, I don't understand why you try to force it for a 9-yard completion. Just take the easy 5, 4, 6, 7, maybe it'd have been more. But if you're looking at your team and you're like, hey, this guy's wrong about JJ, watch that play. Watch the Roman Wilson tipped ball that went up high. He had to make the high catch. That's why I'm kind of high on him as like a mid-round pick. If someone picks him, I don't even know if he's going to go high. But Roman Wilson, he has great speed, and he was able to, like, elevate and get some of the balls that JJ was just off on a little bit. And that's kind of where it's like almost like what Ohio State was saying with, like, Kyle McCord. Man, if he could fill right in for JJ, and they would have been about the same. And they're running him out of town. And then I watched some of Ohio State's spring game, and I thought, good grief. This is the guys you brought in that you're hyped about? These guys that are throwing way inaccurate balls in spring game with no pressure? I wasn't impressed at all with Ohio State spring game. That's my segue into some of the college. So if you have any other NFL stuff, go ahead now.
No, we can get into spring football.
Because we talked about it, Ohio State and Michigan both have their spring games on Fox. And it's weird watching, like, the most mundane plays, and a guy looks like he could break it. They blow the whistle. And then, like, Joel and Gus just, like, talking random stuff over top of it. And I was hoping that, like, Ohio State would actually do more of just, like, I don't know. Maybe I don't even know what Michigan's going to do, because with Harbaugh, they were doing weird spring games, too. It was kind of more like what Ohio State was doing. And it wasn't like a traditional, let's just go out and put some of the guys, like the backup guys, in and really let them rip it and play a real game. And when you're on national TV, I feel like that's what you should do, right?
Well, I feel like I can't wait for this weekend, because I want to just see Florida State just put on an absolute cluster of a spring game, just to have everyone at ESPN just, like, choking over their words. Like, well, now we're going to this thing that we don't know what it is. And
well, that's what I watched some of the Clemson one too, because people kept showing up on my timeline down here, and they were like, oh yeah, Clemson doesn't look as bad. And, like, some of their quarterbacks and stuff. And I'm like, don't they have a lot of guys returning? Like, I feel like Clemson's not going to have that much of a drop-off, and the quarterback should know the system. And so I wasn't really 100% sold on what I saw from them either. But I know it's just a spring game. It doesn't matter at all because everyone has a couple of games of warm-up at the beginning of the year. And then we'll see how good a team actually looks. I'm wondering, like with Michigan right now, it seems like everything's in on Orji as being the quarterback. When in the past, I was surprised that he never even, like watching the All-22s, he came in and he would just run. And Harbaugh used to do that with JJ too, where everyone's saying like, he can't pass at all. Otherwise, he would have passed before. They did call a couple passes for him and they were covered. And he, one of them, I don't know which game it was, if it was the Bama game or the Washington one. He held it for too long because he was trying to make a pass and no one ever got open. And then it kind of just turned into a dud. And I'm like, just throw it away then, buddy. Like, that's the one thing that I wish I would want to see. But I'm like, I want to see him make a pass to know if he can throw or if I should keep hoping that Milrow transfers, right? I need to know what's going to happen. Because, like, I read the Alabama breakdown of their spring thing. I don't know if their game already happened, but they were talking about, like, how there's no chance of Milrow transferring. He's set in. And I'm like, is he? But then they had everyone else transferring out, possibly. And I'm like, the board didn't bring in transfers just to have them transfer out. He wanted guys for his system. If anyone transfers out, it would be Milrow. Guys, there's going to be a transition period. I know he's saying that he doesn't want it to be a transition period. Everybody knows it. That's why if you do a search for Milrow, like the first 10 articles are about him possibly transferring. It's because he's not going to be a standing back in the pocket, pick you apart, Michael Penix type quarterback. And if he makes that transition, awesome. I just know that there's not that many landing spots out there that are geared towards his style of quarterback that have openings. And Michigan's one of them. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Now, if Orji comes out and lights it up in the spring game, he's throwing 70-yard bombs. Looks like Joe Milton again. But that Joe Milton experiment only worked for that one game against Minnesota. And then things went downhill fast. So I want to see more about it. I don't think we talked about the sanctions. The NCAA announced their penalties against Michigan. Really weird day. And I know I'm probably more into this than what Matt read. So here's kind of the synopsis or the recap. They penalized Michigan with probation. A double secret probation. People don't know what it means. Because apparently the NCAA and the university worked together to close out the allegations. These are from the cheeseburger and the recruiting things, where they said that Harbaugh had recruits passing through to get a hamburger. People at Michigan State are convinced that that person was JJ, and he was on the way to tell Harbaugh that he was not going to Michigan, which seems odd because his first pick was Ohio State, and it wasn't like Ohio State ever pushed for him to be there. So where would he be going? And why would a cheeseburger sway him to stay? Like, damn, Jim, that was the best burger I ever had. I guess I will sign here, right? So they made it seem like that's what happened. And I thought it was two other guys that I don't even think they signed with Michigan, which I think is where the NCAA was supposed to bounce off the allegations. That's kind of what I heard, is that two pit players were kind of driving through. They stopped for like an unofficial visit. Harbaugh was kind of out and about and said, oh yeah, I'm grabbing a burger, come on over, whatever. And then because it wasn't an official visit and they weren't guys that he was like recruiting or whatever per se, that's why he didn't turn in the receipt. And then that's where the back and forth is going. So Michigan went behind his back. And so Harbaugh's lawyer put out a statement today saying like they didn't even know that there was going to be an announcement today about the resolution of that investigation. And I'm wondering if this Harbaugh fight it now? Because he could very easily just take... He was suspended for 3 games for it already. They wanted 4 or whatever, and then they said there might be additional penalties. He's gone to the NFL now. they can't suspend him again. I feel like he's just going to get a show cause penalty, which it seems like everybody on Michigan's coaching staff got, and I wasn't sure what that was. So I looked it up because I was like, they announced probation, didn't say what happened, didn't say they lost scholarships, didn't say anything. They said there might be recruiting restrictions, didn't say what they were. Said that everyone got a show cause. It looks like that just means that if they're taking a coach's in-person visits away, then it goes with them if they take a new job. So like Chip Kelly had him at Oregon, went to the Eagles, and then bounced around the NFL, came back to UCLA. I think the show cause was up. Right, no big deal. It's like 3 years.
So it's just a natural NFL move that you just go there for a couple years, bring some college game to the NFL, make things interesting, and then when they catch on, then you go back to college.
Well, that's why I was wondering what the math was, because they said five coaches. I don't know if that included Harbaugh or if it was five coaches that signed this first agreement, and then Harbaugh's the sixth one. But it seemed like a bunch of Michigan guys already went to the NFL. Including linebackers coach Chris Partridge. Someone said he was with the Seahawks now. Minter went. Michigan lost pretty much their whole entire defensive staff. And there were some defensive staff guys that were kind of hanging around. And I almost wonder if this had something to do with it, where Michigan's kind of just like, we'll just gut and go with it. And we're going to close it out. And then I really don't think Harbaugh's going to fight it. I mean, his only fear is what? That his legacy turns into like a secret Pete Carroll one where people say that he left to dodge sanctions. But based on the public reaction of like the sanctions are a slap on the wrist. Nothing bad happened. So there's no way Harbaugh jumped to the NFL just to get out of a secret, double secret probation like Animal House. Where they're like, you guys are on probation. What makes it bad? Because Harbaugh was in it. They're like, okay, well, what happens? They're like, we don't know yet. But we're going to announce it. And we're going to announce that the case is closed. Except, depending on what Harbaugh decides to do, if he doesn't take a show cause penalty, then we might reopen it, guys. And so I have a feeling that it's just going to kind of be closed. I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, you know how slow this stuff goes. But watch Harbaugh's announcement be made during the Chargers training camp or the NFL draft. It's going to be a major event, right? The NCAA and the Big Ten need to capitalize on that TV cycle, especially ESPN. They're like, NCAA, can we put this during training camp? See you something? We don't want Harbaugh just in an RV down by the lake. That's kind of weird. He like ditched his family. He's living in an RV by himself. And one of the RVs just had a whole rack of wine. Or whiskey. I don't know. I didn't have the sound on. I just breezed through it real quick. And I was like,
just bags of wine.
Yeah, he just has, he's just what he's living by. He has a TV, a football. He goes outside and plays catch with people at the RV park. And he's at the beach. So he probably takes his shirt off, work on his tan. Remember that recruiting trip video where he had his shirt off? He was all pasty white. Maybe he's working on that. But that's my update. I thought people are going to be hammering Michigan, or we're going to get some kind of recruiting thing where it's going to be like 10 scholarships lost. Nothing really happened. I kind of wasn't worried about it. When they came out, it was about the cheeseburger thing. Really? And then the Connor Stallions thing that a lot of like ESPN tries to put into the same article. Michigan's not really, they never received a notice of allegations. So there's rumors that that's more of a financial penalty because the in-person scouting rule is about financial differences. So not competitive ones. Michigan might not have any sanctions coming from that other than they might have to pay a fine of like whatever, right? I don't, what's the difference? They track Connor's Venmo and they times it by like five. Like, how do you decide how much it costs? And plus, he was in a disguise. So if anything, he's 100% getting a show cause penalty if that was him on the sideline. I feel like, I said it before, a long time ago, that my suspicion was that he was starting his own recruiting, sign stealing, whatever business, where he was like a football analyst and he was trying to sell his service to other teams. Central Michigan, I think is who it was, hired him to help on their sideline for the Michigan State game. That's the only thing that makes sense if he was wearing a disguise. He said, boys, I'd love to help you, but I can't be on the sideline. Michigan plays them this year. And they're like, what if we get you a disguise? And he's like, don't worry, I already got a makeup guy and fake hair guy. But like, why would you go through that much trouble? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then I think they already cleared all the phones from the other coaches saying that they didn't know. And that's why the NCAA guy said that Michigan won the title fair and square. Because if you suspend the coach, you suspend the sign stealing guy, Michigan should lose, right? And they didn't. They're like, we got him now. Because I remember that game. Everyone was like, the line was moving. People were like, oh, Michigan's going to lose really bad at Penn State. Because like the head coach is gone. Their sign stealing guy is gone. This is going to be a bloodbath. And then they ran the ball like 30 times in a row. And everyone was like, that was embarrassing, Penn State. And I think at that moment, everyone kind of knew that this team isn't messing around. That's what the NFL, I don't know if you saw, for one of the combine things, of course, ESPN's bringing up about how are the Michigan guys going to be drafted later because they think they got an advantage because of the sign stealing stuff. And the one guy said, did he need a sign to knock one of the Ohio State's linemen right on his ass? Which made me laugh because no, you don't need a sign for that. And they also said the offensive player would know what this play is anyway, right? So in theory, they would have the advantage. So if the Michigan guy's beating him, why would that be a knock on him, right? But
I guess
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how many Michigan guys get drafted. Is the draft this? It's not this week, is it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, good. Who's your pick for number one? Is it Williams?
I think it has to be.
I forgot the draft. This is going to be a good week, dude. NFL draft, Michigan spring game. Gives me a lot of stuff I can look forward to.
Florida State spring game.
That's on a lower tier of my watch list.
You should just hop on board now because you know that they're just going to bury sanctions on Michigan until you're... cripples you guys. You'll have all the excuses for NCAA was just bullying us.
Bro, we got the title, got the championship. Harbaugh is gone. They're not going to go after Michigan anymore. People are thinking it's crazy. I mean, Jerome Moore was suspended for one game already. They're not going to keep attacking him. Are you insane? They're going to be, unless Michigan comes out and they're just stomping people this year. Because, I mean, they got a lot of guys back, surprisingly, that, like, the Don. Can you imagine if the Don's in the Heisman contention again? He's running wild. Corum's not back, so Donovan Edwards gets all the carries. And he runs for, like, 300 yards on Ohio State. Didn't he have, like, 277 or something that one year? If he's running for 300 yards on Ohio State, he's winning the Heisman. If Michigan's undefeated. I know Blake didn't get that luxury because they were kind of splitting carries and limiting him last year, but I think Donovan Edwards said that he wants to carry the load to show NFL teams that he can carry the load. That's why he came back. And so that means if they have him and a running quarterback running like an option, that's a scary situation. Now, maybe it doesn't work out. Who knows? Maybe the offensive line or the quarterback can't pass, and so everything's bottled up. And he can't get the close yards like Corum. You never know. But I don't think it's going to be because of sanctions. I think it will just be because Harbaugh left. Things will either fall off gradually. Will it go down to like Rich Rod? Or will it maybe be like Brady Hoke? And if they stay competitive, expanded playoffs, keep making it. We don't know how recruiting is going to be affected. I don't think they've gotten really any recruits since the coaching change. Because I think they're waiting on sanctions or whatever. See what happens. But I think spring game will be one where we'll see how it looks. If it looks like a shit show, then I'll be worried. If it looks like a well-oiled machine, Because, like, remember when Lincoln Riley took over for Bob Stoops, it looked like it was, like, a pro, like, it looked like things were still going smooth. Or, like, David Shaw taking over from Harbaugh at Stanford. Then I'll be happy. But if it looks like it's a mess, then I'll be kind of worried. But we'll find out. Any other college things you want to talk about?
The transfer portal window is starting to open back up. So all the teams trying to get under the appropriate number of players is now going to be a cluster because they had a chance to have their spring practices and seeing which having that evaluation. So time to go portal surfing.
Now, I think I saw Penn State already had a receiver in there. And someone was saying that if they transfer now, they have to sit out a year. But I don't think that's the case, right? Because I feel like people transfer in the spring all the time, and then they're starting in the fall. I think as long as you
enroll. I don't even think it matters anymore. I think it's just ripped.
I know. I did see with the NCAA football game coming out that Florida State posters were all up around campus. Did you see those?
Oh, they were rough looking.
They had that DJ was in the game, though. Uyunglele.
Yes.
So you guys are in the same situation as Michigan. Is the quarterback going to be able to throw the ball? Who knows? Are you going to be able to run it? He's hyped up, big, strong.
He is beefy.
He can take the pounding. That's what everyone says about Orgy. I saw he was in the game, too, and I thought, this would be a fun game if they bring back the spread read that I used to run. You remember those days? If I had a big quarterback that could be my running back and then the Donovan Edwards I could just pitch to. I used to use Sammy Watkins in that route. Now I can just play with Michigan. It's awesome. National champs. Maybe JJ will be on the cover. I am kind of concerned that they're not putting the game on PC because I was really worried that they're going to just put it on Xbox and PlayStation and then it's going to kind of be locked there. Where if it came to computers and they put it on Steam, then even if they only make one game, then it will give us a newer game to kind of people to do mods on, you know? And then, yeah, like, keep it alive. If they put it on an Xbox and the PS5, I don't think there's really any exploits for the new Xbox and the PS5. And the one thing I hate about that, too, is you have to pay if you want to play online. Where if you got on the computer, it wouldn't have that. But I couldn't find any information. I tried to actually just message them on Twitter, EA, and they had, like, no posts about the game, which I thought was odd. But I guess it's supposed we're going to get more information in May, is the rumor. Like, May 16th or something like that. So we're a month away of finding out more information on the game and what teams aren't in it, if any. If any team said that they're not going to be in it, that would be such a dumb move that it would be insane. Why you wouldn't want that free marketing from people making posts on like Twitter and YouTube and stuff. I had one more thing for the show because surprisingly, I think we're right around time. The NHL... I've been kind of being sucked in now because the playoff race is so tight where the Pens and the Red Wings. I was trying to look it up right now to see if it got figured out, but there's been such a good mix of games on that they've all been right around 1 point for making that last wild card. And I honestly don't remember an NHL like playoff scenario where it came down to like the last game like this with like four teams. So the Capitals won. I think that means that they're in. So I think that eliminates the Pens and the Red Wings while our show. So the Red Wings did win. So they would have been the next one, I think. But I want to say that locks it up. And I will say that I did enjoy that. And I didn't know that the tiebreaker was regulation wins versus overtime wins, which I think is a good tiebreaker. And yeah, that locks it up. Pens are out. So their game against whoever they play, the Islanders, doesn't even matter. What a bummer. The Canes down here, they were close to getting the number one seed. But it looks like the Rangers held out and got it. And it looks like the Hurricanes will be number two. I did want to bring in, and maybe I'll save it for more in the summer, but the blackout rule. Talking to a lot of people down here, they're like, yeah, we're big Canes fans. The only reason I pay for cable and things like that. And I was wondering, how many people don't pay for cable, and they just pick a different team to watch because you can just get ESPN Plus for like whatever it is, $5, $10, and you can watch almost all the other games of other teams. Like, I found it easier now to watch Penguins games than it used to be. Almost all the Penguins games, it seems like, are on there. At least when I'm curious. I don't follow as close as what I used to with hockey. But I can't watch, like, any Hurricanes games. They're all blocked out or some other bullshit. And that's what annoys me. That's my final thing. Why? All you're doing is making me want to either watch the Red Wings or watch the Penguins. That's it. I'm not going to start buying cable to watch the Hurricanes. Right?
Right.
I mean, even if the Big Ten, Michigan hockey, I forgot to bring up. So they blew it again. And now Denver has the most national titles of all time because they ended up pulling off the upset over Boston College, which was the one seed that eliminated Michigan. And so now I wonder if Michigan's going to get its shit together with hockey now, where they're like, we used to be able to brag about having the most national championships, and now we can't. Now they're going to have to go on a tour, on a tear and rip some off. But like the Boston College, like their team had seven dudes on like the juniors or whatever. That was like one of the most loaded teams. For them to lose has to be just heartbreaking for them. Because like, you know, Boston College, they're not winning in football. They're not winning in basketball. Michigan, yeah, it was sad, but we have a national championship in football we can celebrate. Boston College has nothing. The ACC doesn't even want them. Right? I mean, they're going to be left in a whatever conference ends up with UConn in the leftovers. Boston College is 100% going to be in that unless Notre Dame throws them a life raft. Do we agree on that?
Yeah.
They're done. Doug Flutie would have to create his own endowment to just pay for Boston College to stay relevant. And that's not going to happen.
Or just have Florida State play at Boston College every year. It'd be a bandana game. It's like every time they have one of those and it's up there in like weird weather, they struggle. It's like the only game that they play their butts off.
Don't worry. That'll be the Big House eventually when Florida State comes to the Big Ten. That's why I can't be excited about Florida State. Are you kidding me? We're going to be rivals soon. Although, conspiracy down here in the South thinks that Florida State and Clemson are going to work out a backdoor deal with ESPN to get out of these ACC sanctions. And it's also going to keep the ACC together. North Carolina is going to be fine with making less money. NC State's going to be fine with making less money. Then, and I mean, they're making less money than UCF. Remember, that's the bottom line. North Carolina is going to be okay with making less money than UCF. Nothing against UCF. That's what this whole entire thing is about. Florida State doesn't want to be making less money than UCF in the Big 12. But yet, they're going to work on a sweetheart deal backdoor to get Clemson and Florida State into the SEC. And then the rest of the ACC schools are going to be happy with making less than UCF. And not only them, BYU, whatever other teams that people thought were not even Power 5 a couple years ago are going to be making more money than all of the ACC teams. So just keep that in mind, ACC lovers, whenever you're talking about the future of the conference. That's my last thing. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, just appreciate the support. Keep checking out the website and good vibes.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.